This is the John Oakley Show podcast.
On a great day for talk radio, there's a new study out from the Bulletin of the American Meteorological Society, and it does say even light rain, a light drizzle, significantly increases your risk of a fatal car crash. Well, when it comes to matters involving vehicular incidents, Kerry Schmidt is the go-to guy, the OPP's Highway Safety Division spokesperson. Kerry, good to have you back on the Oakley Show. Hi there.
Hey, it's a great talk for the talk radio.
That's what it is. No, not a worry. We should have rehearsed. Anyway, listen, I mean, with this study out, it now verifies something I'm sure your field experience has told you. A little bit of light rain even increases the chance of, accidents or even fatalities.
Well, particularly in the darkness, when it's not sunny out there and you have rain coming down, you don't get that same reflection. You start losing that depth perception. You start not realizing what's happening in front of you. The way the headlights are sending the light out, it's not giving you back the same response or reflection that you are typically during a dry condition. And hey, just think about when you're stepping out of the shower on a wet floor. It's slippery. If it's dry, you can stop or you can stand without slipping. Same thing on the highways. If you are getting into just a little bit of moisture, sometimes that is just enough to get that oil and debris that's on the highway up out of the pores or out of the crevices of the highway, making it for a very slippery, very slick condition that you really need to pay attention to. It's as bad as icy conditions in winter weather driving.
You think people really appreciate that? They say it's underappreciated.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if the temperature gauge is above zero, there's no risk of ice or freezing. They think that, well, absolutely, let's just put the wipers on and let's go like we always have. The water should be draining off the highway naturally with the camber of the road, but you still can get areas of standing water pooling, especially in areas of construction. And I'm sure you've seen plenty of that. And if you have enough standing water where there's potholes or low-lying areas, you can start hydroplaning. Maybe that's only going to happen in heavier raining conditions, but it certainly is an issue that you need to be aware of. And by the time you hit that water or that area of moisture and you're going too fast and you're coming up to a stop sign or a curve in the road, your vehicle may not have the traction to negotiate or come to a stop.
You know, I sometimes experience that in the passing lane on the DVP. There are low-lying areas where the water pools and Boom, you hit that and look out. And you would think that's a well-maintained highway, too.
Sure. And you know what? If the storm catch basins get clogged, there may not be the proper drainage. Or if rain comes down in a hurry, it may not be able to evacuate that water quickly. And if only your left side or the right side of your vehicle catches that water, just driving over that water actually causes considerable drag on those wheels, which will actually feel like it's pulling you into the water. And if you don't have a firm grip on the steering wheel, you could get sucked right into that water even more so, up against the wall or into other vehicles. And if you panic and over control, slam on the brakes or steer the other way, you could obviously lose control. And obviously, if you are hydroplaning, you're not going to have any steering or braking control at all until your vehicle slows down and finally comes in contact with the road again.
Yeah. Well, they say even a light drizzle increases the fatal crash risk by 27%. With moderate rain, it's up to 75%. And then with heavy rain, it's nearly 2.5 times more risky. So you want to be mindful of that. Kerry Schmidt is with us, OPP Highway Safety Division. Let me ask you about something else when it comes to monitoring the roads. With the legalization of pot, any notice in the change in people caught DUI or being subjected to a roadside sobriety test because of impairment through marijuana?
Well, I'll tell you, marijuana is not new. It may be legally new to consume, and you can have it lawfully now, but we all know that marijuana has had quite the presence for many years already, and we have seen plenty of drug-impaired drivers in the past, as we have in the past year as well. I can't say that we're seeing an appreciable or significant jump in the number of drug-impaired driving charges, but just for example, we do see different kinds of experiences. Let me tell you this very quickly. We had an officer responding to a vehicle all over the highway, on Highway 401. It was going up against other vehicles, nearly striking them, concrete walls. We finally got the vehicle stopped. The driver fled on foot over a fence and through the woods, and we later found him in a residential area when neighbors called in to reply that there was someone trying to get into the house. By the time officers got to the scene, we had this driver up on the roof of this person's house, and we had to carefully talk him down from the roof. So, and he blew zero alcohol, but he was certainly impaired by drugs. So drugs can do funny things to people, and we've heard all kinds of stories about people climbing things after they've tried different types of drugs, and this guy, he found himself on the roof of some neighbor's house, which was certainly concerning for them.
Where along the 401 corridor was that?
That was just west of the GTA, actually towards Cambridge. So, but this is not unique to that area. We see it all the time. And we can laugh at it now, but, you know, drugs will make you do different things. Why is there a psychoactive ingredient? People want that high. They don't take drugs for just the calming, soothing, whatever feeling they have. It's for that high. And that high can certainly manifest itself in many different ways. And we need to deal with it then when we try to get these people stopped after they're driving down the highway, really in an absolutely dangerous condition.
Where do we stand now with roadside sobriety testing?
Well, still the same drug recognition experts are the ones doing the tests in the detachments. We have our standard field sobriety testing officers. I know the OPP is buying some of those oral fluid saliva testers as well, which will give you some limits on the zero tolerance for drug and alcohol for commercial and graduate licensing drivers. But our front line are the best tools out there to determine drug impairment, and that is by officers doing those battery of tests, the coordination physical tests that they will use to determine what kind of impairment and to what level, and then their drug recognition experts will also do a much further elaborate series of tests, including, you know, your eye visual, horizontal gaze, astigmatism, and heart rate and blood pressure and pupil dilation and size, along with physical and coordination tests and mental tests that, based on the totality of all those results, officers will make a determination whether you were impaired by a drug, what kind of drug, and to what level.
All right. So it's still less than scientific, but to your knowledge, to this point, 6 months into legalization or otherwise, I mean, have any of these charges been contested in court?
I'm sure they have. I don't know where they stand in the court process, either post legalization or pre legalization. But absolutely, we've had drug impaired driving charges through the courts, and convictions are being entered based on the testimony of the officers and the witnesses that see this behavior. Impaired driving is impaired driving by alcohol or drug, operating any motor vehicle, a vessel, or aircraft. So whatever you're in, and now that the ice is breaking up, if you're going to be going down the water in a canoe or a powerboat, you could be charged with impaired driving just as you can a motor vehicle on the highway.
I understand when it comes to boats, that's also a consideration now as people are looking forward to the summer months ahead. Storage of cannabis has become an issue. There have been a number of charges in the province.
Well, absolutely. Cannabis readily available to the driver within reach of the driver is an offense under the Cannabis Act, and we've certainly laid plenty of charges like that recently, including excess cannabis and having illicit cannabis in possession. Those are all offenses that can be charged by the officer, and doesn't matter if you're in a car or a boat, if that cannabis is within reach of the operator, there's an offense. And obviously, smoking is not permitted inside a motor vehicle.
I understand. Close to 1,000 charges to this point since the legalization of cannabis as far as that storage of cannabis charge is concerned. Kerry, it's always great to get an update. I appreciate your time very much this afternoon.
All right. Thank you very much. Enjoy the sunshine.
You got it. Kerry Schmidt. He's with the OPP Highway Safety Division.
Thanks for listening to the John Oakley Show podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your on-demand audio.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.